Proverbs chapter number 10 tonight. We're going to dive into this book a little bit. I don't know how long we'll stay in this book, but I'm planning on this month, perhaps next month as well, just giving you some taste here of these Proverbs. And I'm going to take each one of them singly, because when you get to chapter 10, you find that this is really a potpourri of verses. Chapters 1 through 9 deal with a variety of subjects, and sometimes the whole chapter is devoted to one of those subjects. But when you get to chapter 10, every verse seems to stand by itself, and many times not related to the one following, though there is relationship between them if you begin to look and to study them. If you go back, if you hold your spot there in chapter 10, go back to verse number 1 of chapter number 1, I want you to notice, we know the reason for the writing of this book. We know that God used a man by the name of Solomon, and he really wrote this for his son. And notice what it says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And notice what he says next, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And so God gives us this book that we might gain in knowledge and in wisdom. We know something about wisdom from the book of James. We know from the book of James, and I think also from verse 5 of this same chapter, of chapter 1, that wisdom is given as we desire it. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But may I say to the person who's not interested, God's not going to put a funnel to your brain and dump it in. It is something that I believe we ought to have a desire for. When you get to chapter 10, you're not going to be able to outline these chapters. You're not going to be able to set up some sort of a system to say, well, this talks about here, and then it changes this, and it changes that, because the subjects change almost verse by verse. By the way, if you'd be interested, we have a series. A good friend of mine wrote it. They're set up in paces like we use in school. And it deals with the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Many of our students take that and see my wife about it. We won't charge you more than $10 a page. And it is very well set up, very good course there. And I don't know how long it will take you. It takes these guys about a semester while they're doing everything else. But you can probably do that in a week or two if you really got at it. But what great chapters, what great things we find here. We find that though they do not deal with necessarily a subject for 2 or 3 verses, we do find that there are similar subjects throughout the book of Proverbs, and especially chapters 10 to 29. I look at them and I find, give you an illustration, there are 7 verses that we find in Proverbs that every parent ought to know in regards to disciplining their children. Now, every child hopes their parent doesn't hear these, and but every parent needs to hear, understand, and realize what God says. I'm going to read those to you. One's in chapter 13, verse 24. It's something you might want to write down, these verses. He says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. That's a strong word, by the way. That means the person who spares the rod, that's the person who is not willing to spank their child, what does God say? Hates his child. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Young folks in here, young people, kids in here right now, how many of you have parents that love you? You know, because you've been swatted a few times. Isn't that wonderful? All right. How many of you older folks, you had a few swats from your parents growing up? Okay. How many of you had a lot of swats? Okay. That shows just how much they really loved you. All right. I know you didn't think so, and I understand that. But God says, he that spareth the rod, what? Hateth his son. Chapter 19, verse 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Yeah. He says, chasten. Because he cries, don't back off because of that. I heard one of mine the other day complaining about this. They said, yeah, they were supposed to cry when you gave us a whipping, and that was true. If it didn't hurt and didn't make them cry, I didn't think it was hard enough. But I didn't ever allow them to cry loudly. Because in my book, if you cried loudly, it was the same thing as rebellion. When you scream and carry on afterwards. So it was cry, and cry silently. I mean, not silently, but quietly. Things were tough in our household. But that was the way it worked. By the way, it works. And they learned that. But chasten thy son, he says, while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. I didn't mean to preach on these verses, but they're tremendous verses. Chapter 22, verse 6, you know this. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Chapter 23, two verses I'm going to do with on this one. Oh, I love these two verses. People look at these and they say, are you kidding? That's in the Bible? Yeah, it is. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Did you know that? The kid might think he is, but the Bible says he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, I understand what that word brings up in the minds of people in our day and age, but God's simply saying, hey, they need to have something put on the backside from time to time to help them understand that sin hurts. That's all it is. Sin hurts. And if they can understand that, it's interesting. Bible says in chapter 22, verse number 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How many parents say, yes, I believe that? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And then it goes on and says, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Isn't that interesting? It works. It works. Chapter 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Oh, my goodness. You mean that spanking tool I got, that gives them wisdom? Yeah. Yeah, they learn to make the right decisions. That's what wisdom is. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A couple verses later, he says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give the light into thy soul. So we find that scattered throughout these chapters are these wonderful gems on disciplining our children. Chapter number one, it's interesting. Chapter one tells us about four different kinds of people, and you can find truth about these scattered throughout these later chapters. He talks about the wise person, chapter 1, verse 20, and then he talks in verse 22 about three others, the simple, the scorner, and the fool. And it's interesting what you learn concerning these four types of individuals throughout the Word of God. Now, what we're going to do for the next few weeks is look at this chapter and perhaps some those following after and discover a multitude of nuggets that are so practical for life. We need to know how to live. Amen? We need instruction on that, and God has given us some great instruction. Now, I learned this many years ago. I've taken this, and I've gone through the entire thing, but I've lost almost all of my notes concerning it. But I took all these verses, and I narrowed them down, and I reduced them to three or four words. Let me explain. Verse number one, notice what it says. The Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 10, verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And what I wrote down was simply this: wisdom brings happiness. Wisdom brings happiness. Allow me to explain something to you tonight. I believe knowledge is an assimilation of facts. There are so many things out there for you and I to learn. And what marvelous, marvelous truth that God has for us. But as we bring all those facts into our minds, they're really not much good unless we have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take those same facts and make good choices as a result of that. What's wisdom? I think making choices based upon good knowledge. Making the right decisions, I find in verse number one, has a tremendous impact upon the family. Say, how do you get that? Well, if we make wise decisions, daddy's happy. If you make poor decisions, mama's not happy. And so we find that it makes a great impact upon the family. We find that whatever decision we make, it doesn't matter if you're the mom or the dad or a child, it has consequences, whether for good or whether for evil. Our decisions mean something. And so what you do and what I do have that impact upon those round about us. I find this verse highly interesting because as I look at it too, it gives me understanding or insight into the different emotional state of men and women. How many knew men were different than women? Yeah. Anything wrong with that? Not at all. Not at all. Matter of fact, we have our emotions. Men have emotions. Women have emotions. Men sometimes look at the emotions of women and wonder, what in the world is going on? I mean, I've asked my wife on a few occasions, why are you crying? She says, I don't know. I knew I must have said something. I must have done something. What's wrong? Why are you crying? I don't know. Now, through the process of years, she generally knows anymore. But she would say, I don't know. And I learned that there are times that women just cry because they, I don't know, feel better doing it. I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. If I'm going to cry sterling, there's going to be a good reason. But we're made different. And that's okay because that's the way God did it. But I'm saying that for another reason tonight. Husbands, the Bible says that we are to dwell with them according to knowledge. Wise up, understand something. The emotions of your wife are not the same as yours. And the way she reacts to things is not going to be the way you react to things. I'll tell you what. If it comes time and your wife, she wants to be doing something. Let's say she wants to build a fence out in the yard. I don't think when it's her birthday she's going to be too excited because you buy her a pole saw digger. But I'll tell you what. A guy, he's going to, man, a tool, yes, bring me that thing on. By the way, guys today, ladies, just so you understand, they want tools that have motors on them. Because we've gotten a little bit lazier. But, you know, like to have things with tools. I like to have tools today that come with people attached. But we find he things are different. A son makes a good decision, his daddy is happy. But I tell you what, he makes a bad decision, it weighs heavily upon the mama. More so than upon the daddy. And so God has given us a little bit of insight there. So wisdom brings happiness. Notice verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit what? Profit nothing. But righteousness delivereth from death. I wrote down 3 words again. Sin doesn't prosper. Treasures gotten by ill means never bring the pleasure desired. Never does. And somehow we think that if we can get something, that we're going to be really happy because of that something. But we don't have it from that. But being pure, living for God, will benefit us far, far more. Righteousness delivereth from death, separation from things. And so God wants us to understand, sin does not prosper. It never helps us to gain or to flourish whatsoever. Verse number 3 says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Now that's interesting. So we look here and we see that he says in verse number 3 that righteous living, it is going to satisfy. Do you know that God always takes care of his own? It might not be as much as somebody else, but I have learned something. God always gives us enough. God always gives us enough. And he says, will not suffer the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The wicked, on the other hand, never seem to be able to hang on to what they have. Nor does it ever bring them great pleasure. I read the words of our president at the prayer breakfast the other day, and I took out a little bit of it, and this is a quotation, and I think it expressed it well. And when you realize and remember that he is one of the wealthiest men in our nation, he says this: America is a nation of believers. He's talking to the people of faith. And then he says, in towns all across our land, it's plain to see what we easily forget, so easily we forget this, that the quality of our lives is not defined by our material success, but by our spiritual success. He says, I will tell you that. And I will tell you that from somebody that has had material success and knows tremendous numbers of people with great material success, the most material success, many of those people are very, very miserable, unhappy people. And I know a lot of people without that, but they have great families, they have great faith. They don't have money, at least not nearly to the extent, and they're happy. Those, to me, are successful people, I have to tell you. Now, those are simple words, but basically, is that when we live right, there's satisfaction. And you can have all the success in the world, and what they say is out there and so forth, and does not bring. Well, God says it right here. The Lord will not suffer the righteous to famish, the soul of the righteous. Our kids need to understand that. Our kids have this idea built into by so many people that the only way you're really going to be happy is if you have more toys than somebody else. Not true. Not true. Let me tell you a story of three boys that I know. They were growing up during Depression time, and their mom and dad did not have very much money. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Mama, she didn't work out anywhere. That was just not really known of in that time. They were farmers, and he didn't even own his own farm. And so they worked for somebody, and he got paid $1 a day. That was it. And they just barely could make things meet during those horrible years of depression. And during that particular time, they were able to purchase for a Christmas present for all three boys one toy. It was a little toy Jeep. It was cast iron. And that's all they had. And they were tickled to death and played and enjoyed that. Say, how do you know that? My brothers gave me that Jeep when I was a little boy, and I used to run that thing through the dirt over and over and make roads. If you go into my office, somewhere along the line I lost the Jeep, but there's a little trailer. It sits in my office today. A reminder that it doesn't take all kinds of stuff. If we just put God first in our life. Amen. And how we need to remember, it's not about how much we have. Righteous living does satisfy. It does. Notice verse number 4. Verse 4 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. This one again has three words in my own little clumsy style. I just simply put this: diligence pays off. Often you will find in these chapters laziness contrasted with being industrious. And when you find those contrasts, you will also find the outcome accompanying it. And over you will find how laziness destroys the individual and how a person who is industrious is the one who's really the happy person. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. That's a lazy hand. But the hand of the diligent, that maketh rich. And you might talk about this world's riches, but I think it's a far greater richness. One of the things I find that it seems that our God is nauseous at those who are slothful. I get the book of Revelation. I find in chapter number 3, he says, I know thy works, to the church at Laodicea. He says, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. He's talking about their works. He says, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot or cold or hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He says, you're not really lazy, but you're not very industrious either. And he says, it just makes me sick. Diligence pays off. God is labor intensive. All you got to do is read about the first 7 days of our worth. God, listen, he applauds all those who will follow his standard. I love these verses. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Sluggard, interesting word. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. He is saying, listen, God wants us to be diligent. There's work to be done. Be active. Be at it. Keep on keeping on. Amen? I mean, it's tremendous when we will have that right kind of attitude. Notice verse number 5. It says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Mom and Dad, listen to this real carefully. It's a verse you ought to be teaching your children, something you need to help them to understand. That is very simply this: work must be done at the proper time. Work must be done at the proper time. The thing that is mentioned or done so often is that somebody's told to do something and they make an excuse. Oh, I'll get that later. I don't believe that resonates very well with God. And I believe children need to be taught procrastination of a job prescribed is unacceptable. A chorus of amens there would have been tremendous. How we must be a people who what? Do it at the right time. At the right time. And so often we make excuses. So often we back away. And God wants us to get at it and to get at it at the right time. He that gathereth when? In the summer is what? A wise son. But he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame. Notice from verse number 6, it says, blessing upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Your lifestyle will return unto you. How you live, it comes back to you. Those who are just, God's blessing comes. Those who are not, violence fills their life. And I'm going to stop on verse number 7. What a great verse. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Names are forever branded. A good name exists eternally. And I'm not speaking about your last name or your first name. I'm talking about the label that people put on you. He's a hard worker. He's a caring individual. The memory, he says, of the just is what? Blessed. How do we want people to remember us? God has some wonderful, wonderful little contrasts throughout this book of Proverbs. And we stop and look at these things, and I do this especially for parents and people who work with kids, and all of us do at some point or other. These are tremendous principles to seek to get across to our children. Things that oftentimes that are overlooked. I'm looking, just summarizing some thoughts with children. Teach your children how to work. By the way, you got to teach them because it doesn't come naturally. Now, when they're real little and you're doing something, Mommy, can I help? But when they get to be about 5 or 6, they don't say that anymore. It's, I got something else to do, Mommy. Teach them how to work. That's a good time to get on some of my little soapboxes. Mm-hmm. By the way, Mom and Dad, quit doing everything for your children. Make them do some things. Amen? Yeah. Make them do some things. A preacher, it's a whole lot easier to do it myself. I know. But it won't be easier when you're 55 years old and visiting the jail cell every 2 weeks. Teach them to be labor intensive. But preacher, we don't have anything to do around our house. Oh, give me a break. There's plenty, amen. When we ran out of jobs, I had wood outside, and my boys have to go out and split wood. That was actually kind of a punishment. It worked out pretty well. They left the home, and I bought a wood splitter. I've had wood splitters for 40 years. But teach them how to work. You know, seriously, to do some jobs. How many in the last 20 years, when it snowed, had a person come to your house and say, "Can I shovel your walk?" You are unusual, Nick. It don't happen very often. When I was a kid, I didn't have the option, do I want to go out and earn some money? My mother shoved me out the door. Said, "You get over there and shovel those walks." Matter of fact, there was one old lady across the street. She says, "She don't give you anything, you do it anyway." One of the hardest dollar bills I ever earned was shoveling her walks. But you learn by doing those things. Teach them to work. And by the way, don't let them make excuses. You want it done now, and there's 5 minutes on their TV program? Tough bananas. Well, that's cruel. Is it? If we allow them to make excuses now, they will keep making excuses and putting things off. And we need to do things in a timely manner. You see, when God wants it done, He wants it done. No excuses. He wants it done. And so take these proverbs and these things we look at and realize a lot of these things we weren't taught, a lot of these things we don't even, as adults, don't even really know as we ought to know. And all the kids in here are groaning and wishing you're deaf and can't hear a thing and all that sort of stuff, but it'd be for their great benefit. Their great benefit. And God will bless in that life. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for these tremendous truths, these little nuggets that are just one right after the other after the other. Some of these resonate more fluently to some of us than others. Some of these are more difficult for us to actually comprehend than others. But God, help us with it. Help us to realize the practicality that is in these verses. The wisdom that's here, the things that we need to make proper decisions with. Proper decisions in how we handle our affairs and how we do our stuff from day to day. Lord, I pray you might work and bless. As we go our ways tonight, thank you for each one here tonight. And Lord God, I pray that if in some way you have spoken to a heart that needs some repentance and needs some changes, Lord God, that might take place in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name.